Let's bow our head and say a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray the Holy Spirit to enlighten our mind, to guide us and strengthen us in our resolutions to live more like Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I'd like to start off first with a story based here in this Gospel. It's a beautiful story. It's about the little boy that's here. So we know he's under the age of 12. 12 is not reached the bar mitzvah. And this little boy, every time he would hear of Jesus being in different towns, was rather close by, he would run off to listen. Because any time he was in the proximity of Jesus and he was able to get close, because of his little side, he could wiggle through the massive crowds of thousands of people. He was able usually to make eye contact, see him face to face, yet though from a distance. And every time he came into our Lord's presence and heard his words, he felt a great peace in his heart, a healing. And he just loved being there. He felt secure. All fears were gone. And he wasn't worried about anything. He was just so mesmerized listening to our Lord's words. He saw the love that radiated from our Lord's eyes. And he often see our Lord working miracles. He saw our Lord oftentimes stretch his hand out and bless different children, healing them. And the thought was in his mind, wow, I hope someday I can be that close where I receive Jesus' personal touch, that blessing as well. Now, in this particular gospel here, you hear about Jesus coming, as Jesus went up a mountain, and thousands of people were gathering together. And so he ran when he had his little backpack with him, and he runs up, and he gets up there, and he wiggles towards the front of the crowd, close enough where he could hear our Lord Jesus Christ speak to Philip. When our Lord asks Philip to get food for these people, and Philip responds, where can we get enough food to feed them to eat? So the boy sees that reaction of Philip. There's a different tone that he wasn't expecting from one of the apostles. Then he heard Philip go on, 200 days' wages worth of food will not be enough for each of them to have a little. And our Lord was just silent there. And the boy, at that moment, heard in his heart, give it to Jesus. He has his backpack. He's got 5 loaves there and 2 fish. Give it to Jesus. Still silent. The apostles are not sure what they were going to do. But it says the Lord knew what he was going to do. The Lord sees all things. He heard it again in his heart, the little boy. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Now, because he'd been with the Lord, with the apostles, seeing them at least from a distance, for quite a period of time, he got to know the personalities somewhat of the apostles. And there's something about Andrew that always struck him that he thought, wow, I like to be like that when I grow up, more like Andrew. He's always bringing things to Jesus and taking care of his needs there, what he was seeing. And so he goes up to Andrew. And then Andrew's eyes light up and he brings the little boy to Jesus. There's a boy here, Lord, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You can imagine, oh Lord, the great smile that he had looking at him. The Lord knew what he was going to do. It was like he was waiting for the boy to get the courage just to step up and to come forward. Come. Come. And so then the boy is there, and you can imagine our Lord stretching out his hand, blessing him, thanking him, just as when people bring the gifts up, I give a blessing. The Lord probably doing the same thing, laying his hand on his head, thanking him for stepping up, his generosity, the self-sacrifice, the food that was probably going to be for his family, but he gave that up. And then he sees it multiply, and it feeds the 5,000 plus people there. So the boy must say, that story, he must have told that every single day of his life afterwards, what he experienced being close to Jesus. The key was, he responded to the word, give it up, give it to Jesus, give it to Jesus. In our daily life, God often tells us, take that leap of faith, step out. Many times we put ourselves like a little box. Okay, that's my comfort zone. I'm going to stay right there. Well, if we do that, the faith is not going to spread. You have St. Paul in the second reading here today from Ephesians says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call that you receive. You have the gift. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. I urge you to live in the manner of this faith that you receive and to give it out to others. Otherwise, you'll lose it. There's a special grace when you communicate the faith to others by your word, by your example, encourage others to go to church or confession. God will give you a special grace that you would retain the faith, that you would persevere. I'll give you an example. We are very blessed here at the parish several days ago. We had two bishops visiting. The Archbishop of Trent, Italy, and Bishop David Moy, our bishop. They had called on Monday the secretary for the bishop, saying, "Bishop is going to come out and wants to look at the chapel and the church." I'm like, whoa, that's great. And so we vacuumed the sanctuary here a little bit. We tidied up a little bit out here so the bishop comes. Now, here's the point. Bishop Molloy says, "I'm the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Rockford." This diocese founded in 1908. The Bishop of Trent, I'm the 142nd bishop of the Diocese of Trent, founded in the 2nd century. My dear friends, a lot of dioceses were founded in the 1st and 2nd century. They're no longer with us. They're extinct. But the Diocese of Trent, there were people there following St. Paul's words, "I urge you to live in the manner worthy of the faith given you." Because if they weren't living, it's not going to pass on to the next generation. So think about that. That was something. This is the sitting bishop of Archbishop of Trent. That was just sort of like the history attached to that diocese. That's where they had the famous Council of Trent, the Trent Tridentine Catechism. So it's really, but the faith that you have, if you don't live it, there's no way your children will live it. No way the children afterwards. And I see this so often. You have good parents, and they're trying, but they're still remnants of the faith. Or, I'll see grandparents who have the faith, and they either go to Mass on a daily basis. They pay for the tuition for the kids going to St. Mary's School. They'll bring their children, their grandchildren, to religious ed, because their own children are delinquent. Parents of these children are delinquent, not living the faith. If it weren't for the grandparents, the faith would be totally lost in that family. What happens to those families when you don't have the grandparents that have the faith? We don't pray the rosary today, don't go to Mass. What's going to happen to the second, third generation, utter pagans, not even baptized, will have no chance of salvation because the faith given to the parents wasn't passed on. They were living for the here and now and forgetting about eternity. My dear friends in Christ, we have a great gift in the faith. Now, I'm going to share a true story. It's an apparition of Our Lady, a proved apparition of the Church, called Our Lady of Quito in Ecuador. It's spelled Quito. I'm going to look it up. It's been named by the Church Our Lady of Good Success. Now, this starts January 21st, 1620. The Holy Archangel, St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, appeared to this Mother Superior, Mother Mariana. And then shortly after, Our Lady appeared. Now, this is 1610, 1620, 1630s, in that range, Our Lady's appearing. And Our Lady starts telling Mother Mariana what's going to be happening 2, 3-plus centuries down the road in the world. And she says this, Our Lady, approved apparition. "I make it known to you that from the end of the 19th century and shortly after the middle of the 20th century, the passions will erupt and there will be a total corruption of customs and morals." Little snippets here. "They will focus principally on the children, like the world attacking the children, in order to sustain the general corruption. Woe to the children of these times. It will be difficult to receive the sacrament of baptism and confirmation." How many people you know have children? The children aren't even baptized. Oh, no big deal, the parents think. No big deal. And how many know who are baptized but never received the sacrament of confirmation? Are they referring to that here? And listen to this. She goes through all the sacraments. I'll just mention a couple. Again, when Our Lady's speaking, this is hundreds of years ago. "As for the sacrament of matrimony, it will be attacked and deeply profaned. The Catholic spirit will rapidly decay. The precious light of faith will gradually be extinguished. Added to this will be the effects of secular education, which will be one reason for the decline of priestly and religious vocations." Our Lady speaks about the Eucharist, how people will no longer believe, they'll walk away. Confession, they won't use it. The sins will just keep piling and piling on their soul, leading to damnation. And then Our Lady talks about the sacrament of holy orders. "The sacrament of holy orders will be ridiculed, oppressed, despised. The devil will try to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every possible way." See, the devil loves to do that because it's only through the priest that we have the absolution of sins. It's only through the priest that we have the holy sacrifice, the Mass, that we have the Eucharist. He will labor in every possible way to attack the ministers of the Lord. He will labor with cruel and subtle astuteness to deviate them from the spirit of their vocation and will corrupt many of them. That the worldly spirit that's so prevalent will affect even many priests and religious, that they won't be focusing on heaven and the things of the spirit, but rather the things of the world. Further, these are just excerpts of Our Lady. Further, in these unhappy times, there will be unbridled luxury, which will ensnare the rest into sin and conquer innumerable frivolous souls that will be lost. Innocence will almost no longer be found in children, nor modesty in women. We live in such a lustful age, and Our Lady says, what happens then? Only the pure of heart see God. Without purity, a person can't pray. There's nothing there to really connect. And then Our Lady says this to Mother Mariana, my daughter, will you sacrifice yourself for the people of this time? Imagine that. 300-400 years ago, Our Lady's asked, will you and your nuns sacrifice your lives now for the sins that are going to come down in the future? Now, this is hope. Here's hope. Our Lady gives success. In order to free men from bondage to these heresies, Our Lady speaking, those whom the merciful love of my most holy Son will destine for the restoration. So Our Lady's talking about the different souls our Lord is going to use to destine for the restoration, restoring the world to Christ. These for the restoration will need great strength of will, constancy, valor, and much confidence in God. To test this faith and confidence of the judge, there will be occasions when everything will seem to be lost and paralyzed. If you look at today's world, oh my goodness, same-sex unions, calling that a marriage. A lot of people who go to church, regular people who pray daily, it's like, whoa, we're living, perhaps these are the time. This then will be the, then Our Lady says, when everything seems like it's lost and paralyzed, this then will be the happy beginning of the complete restoration of things turning around. But the key is, as St. Paul says, I urge you to live in the manner of the faith that you have received. You can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the church. Oh, yeah? How are you living your life? How many people do we know? How many get married at the beach? With some kind of the pastor Anna or something. On the beach? What? Don't you want to have your marriage blessed by Almighty God? It's a sacrament. How many people do we know married outside the church? They're profaning the sacrament. How many people will have relations before marriage? How many people respect what marriage is? I mean, that's attacking the very heart of society. You attack marriage, you attack the family, everything disintegrates there. How many do you know have spent at least 1 hour in the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel? It's been open since June 10th, the Feast of Corpus Christi. And our Lord's whispering in people's hearts, come, give it to me. Give me an hour. Give me an hour. No. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me an hour. Can you imagine someone standing before Jesus Christ? And our Lord says, you know, I graced you. You live within a close proximity to perpetual Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. I was there 24/7. You could come anytime, day or night. And now, you want to spend eternity with me? Are you crazy? No, that's the way I'm speaking. The Lord's not going to speak like that. There'll be more. But you get the picture, huh? I urge you to live in the manner of faith that you have. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus, your time. Give it to Jesus, your heart. Give it to Jesus, your sins through confession. Give it to Jesus, all your hurts and everything. He's the divine physician. Give it to Jesus. Now, as Our Lady said, those who have to have a strong will, courage, all that, the only way that happens, folks, is through the sacraments, especially Holy Communion. When you receive our Lord today, the living God in communion, ask Him, Lord, help me to live in the manner of the faith, this gift you've given me. Help me to be courageous. I have a family reunion where I'm not going to say any prayers or say anything about Jesus. No, Lord, give me the courage of the martyrs. Lord, help me to be a pillar of faith, a pillar of hope. Huh? So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we all thank you here this day for the gift of our faith. Help us, dear Lord, to live in the manner worthy of this gift that you've given us. Help us to be brave and courageous. Help us to be true lovers of you and witnesses in this pagan world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.